When it comes to commercial banking, relationships matter. At Associated Bank, we've got you. With a dedicated team of relationship managers helping you secure financing to best serve you today and tomorrow. Visit associatedbank.com/commercial. Member FDIC.
We're on with Doug McClure, Senior Vice President and Team Leader in Associated Bank's Commercial Banking Group. Doug, welcome back.
Yeah, thanks for having me on again here, Steve.
I want to focus on a couple of things and try to keep our conversation positive today, because I've seen a couple of stories where economists are starting to see a couple of positive things in the economy. I know they had been talking about recession earlier this year, been talking about these tariffs and other things, but they're actually starting to see some glimmer of brightness, right?
Yeah, of course. And, you know, we read a lot of the news recently, and there's a lot of pessimism that we read about and see in the marketplace. So it's nice to see that there's also some optimism as well.
Well, talk to us a little bit more about that. One report said that the economists were expecting stronger growth and stronger job creation, lower risk of recession, cooler inflation than they did 3 months ago. What are they seeing to make them feel that way?
I think it's also in comparison to where we were 3 months ago from today. So if you rewind 3 months ago, mm-hmm. we were in April when a lot of the tariff uncertainty really kicked off, and it got very negative very quickly. So in comparison to where we were in April, it seems like chance of recession has reduced considerably compared to the peak back in April.
Right. So in just to give you like a refresh here, in January, some of these same economists were saying they thought that the chances of recession were about 45%, and now it's about 33%, so it's a little bit lower than that.
Correct.
And then the inflation numbers are, the projections are down just a little bit too, because we just haven't seen much of that from the tariffs.
We really haven't seen that pull through quite yet with tariff impact, and a lot of it has been because it hasn't been fully impacted. I mean, there has been some tariffs instituted, but to what level, we're not quite sure yet.
The president is still threatening tariffs on a number of countries. I think the latest were Brazil and Canada and Mexico and the European Union. The European Union says they're going to fight back. Talk to us a little bit about those tariffs, and maybe throw in a little bit of local perspective here. How are companies dealing with this? How are the CFOs of some of these companies preparing for the year ahead?
Yeah, scenario planning is top of mind for a lot of folks. You know, where our clients' supply chains are very much impact and matter for how they have to react to this changing environment here. I think one omission there was China. I mean, the level of goods that we receive from China as well, and still the undecided tariff rate coming from China will be a big impact for these folks. So I think a lot of planning has been done to try to de-risk China in general, to go to Thailand, Vietnam, you name it. Some are heading back to Mexico. What I will say is there are still a number of clients that source here. They're American-made. They have benefited from some of these, you know, protectionary responses.
Do you think there's going to be more of that? Do you think that more of these companies are going to try to get goods made here in America?
I think to de-risk that concern will impact moving things closer to near shore. I think the challenge we see is how quickly this administration wants to move that. You just can't move a supply chain for auto manufacturers in 3 months. I'd love to see a longer term phase to bring things back. But then again, you know, if we do move things back here, you know, the risk of automation always remains a concern. Does that really help local employees, or are they buying equipment capital to fulfill their goods here?
Yeah. And we have to say, too, this isn't bright for everybody. I was reading a story the other day about toys, because we're about 6 months away from Christmas. Mm-hmm. And there's a one toy company or one toy store in the suburbs that's just seen like Armageddon because
Correct.
They can't get their stuff from China.
Yeah, it's almost to a place where I feel like that 95% of the people I talk to, they're going to be okay, right? Yes, are there some import concerns that they've got coming overseas? Yes. But if you are 100% sourced in China and you're talking about 100% tariffs on consumer discretionary related goods, they could put a lot of companies out of business.
The tariffs, there was a deal announced this week with Japan, with the U.S. and Japan, and I think that the end tariff there is going to be 15%, which is still historically high, so that's still going to mean higher prices for some items, right?
Yeah, the hope is it's a very simple lockstep price increase that we can just take on in 1 month, compared to what we saw a couple years ago. It was month after month after month of continued 9 to 10% increases in inflation.
Is there an argument there on the side of the president Are some have some of these countries been treating us poorly in terms of trade? And
it's not so much black and white to say poorly or favorably, right? But are there certain areas where the European Union or China has protected, or Canada as well, has protected certain industries on behalf of their local countries? Yes. So I think the consideration of retaliatory tariffs would be an interesting idea to continue to pursue. The other side of that is just the general level, I said it already, is uncertainty to plan for, you know, continued ongoing investment into your companies really remains a challenge, and which is why you see elevated levels of pessimism for our CFOs that we talk to.
I wanted to steer clear of the interest rate discussion today, and I know you probably did too, but I just want to bring it up quickly. There was one report this week where there's one analyst that said that he doesn't think there's going to be interest rate cut at all this year. How are your clients reacting to that?
Yeah, I think that certainly the clients that I've got that are heavier borrowers would applaud some interest rate reductions, right? Those that sit on a lot of cash, they actually like the heavy interest rate environment because they're actually getting yield on the excess cash that they're holding on balance sheet. So I would say I want to be risk agnostic between if it drops 1% or if it increases 1%. Just having a favorable level of debt for the right capital structure for your company is a good use of capital, right? If you're over-levered, that could bring risk that you're not quite identifying quite yet. Mm.
What would do companies, and again, you give us your experience here with local companies, what would they do with an interest rate cut? Like, especially if it was one that President Trump has been calling for, which is a couple of percentage points lower.
Sure.
I think he said the other day he wanted interest rates to be at 2%. What would a low interest rate like that do to economic growth?
Well, lowering interest rates clearly spurs on a business investment. On the downside of that, say we were back to 0%, it spurs on almost too much investment, and then you start to see runaway inflation. So the balance between interest rates and inflation is the one that they're trying to stay very focused on to not spur on the inflation we saw a couple years ago.
One of the indicators of a potential recession is lots of people losing their jobs.
Sure.
We just haven't seen that happening at all. The latest report on weekly claims for unemployment benefits came in lower than the week before that. And I think the forecast this week is for another drop. Are any of your clients talking about hiring, or they talk about layoffs, or where does the discussion stand locally?
Yeah, if you compare to a couple of years ago, there was so much labor constraint in the market that it was really tough to have people even show up for interviews because they were trying to put, you know, people to work. That problem isn't there anymore. So it's definitely loosened up, the labor market has. I have not seen a lot of layoffs for the clients that I work with. These are, you know, family-owned companies in the Chicago area, the Midwest region here. I think the big focus for them is employee retention, combined with obviously identifying additional areas to add to the labor force as well. But I have not seen the layoffs that other areas of the market might have seen.
And when you say employee retention, these companies have found good employees, they want to keep them. How is that process working?
Well, I'll even say something a little different. We've had problems with tradesmen in general. These would be people that are general manufacturers working the lines. They could be electricians. They could be truckers. We just have a general population that is starting to age, and that aging of the labor force, once they do leave, you lose a lot of knowledge gap. So to find the right young talent that you can have at your company for 20, 30, 30, 40 more years here is a huge benefit to keep the really high quality talent that you've got.
A quarterly survey from Chicago-based professional services firm Grant Thornton said 46% of CFOs, these are the chief financial officers, were pessimistic about prospects for the economy over the next 6 months. Are you seeing that, hearing that as well from CFOs?
Yeah, especially when compared to December of last year, January of this year, there was such optimism heading into 25 that I think in comparison to the budgets that they had set at the start of the year, they're just not going to meet or even exceed those. I don't see that they're going to miss it by a substantial amount, but they're just not keeping pace with the growth that they anticipated. I think the other counterpoint to that is some of my best clients actually welcome these types of scenarios where there is a slight downturn or pullback. There are advantages in this market to actually utilize the slower momentum to really look and reflect at your own strategy.
I was interested to see that one of the other parts of the survey that showed 41% of CFOs were confident about being able to meet their growth goals for the coming year. That's down about from 53%. How are they meeting those growth goals? What are they doing?
You know, the areas that I see the highest success rates, first of all, are keeping your current clients happy, right? So the best way to grow your company is making sure you're not losing any clients. Mm-hmm. So making sure you're staying top of mind there. But really investing in sales initiatives. You know, what problems are you solving for your client base is very helpful. And you know, scenario planning with that. We've seen a lot of margin pressure. So a lot of pricing pressure to, even though revenue might be going up, net income might not be going up by that same amount. So really reflecting at your cost controls and pricing pressures to make sure it's not just growth, but profitable growth.
And when you say pricing pressures, that they're raising prices.
Correct.
Yeah. Not lowering prices.
Well, the end client wants those reduced. Yeah. Obviously, the seller of that would want it to go up. So
you mentioned this briefly earlier in our conversation where new automation is having a role in some of this, and it's obviously helping some of these companies reduce costs. Like, what's the new automation that we're not thinking about?
Well, I think there's been a long trend of replacement of labor to capital in general for manufacturing. I don't think that there is a hockey stick growth to really replace the entire labor force for manufacturing. But we have started to see that from an AI perspective. Data centers remain a big growth investment area where a lot of our manufacturers are taking advantage of new data centers coming up. The result of that might be, you know, 2, 3, 5 years from now, potential replacement of that capital with the labor with capital.
Mm-hmm. And then artificial intelligence is the other wild card here.
Exactly. I think there's a lot of areas that we're not quite understanding how quickly this is coming and how sizably the impact it would reflect on the market.
I think that's probably a bigger conversation for another day.
That's so right.
I'm going to file that one away because it scares me just a little bit. The other thing that I know we were talking about in some of our previous chats in other weeks were the companies preparing to make acquisitions and do capital expenditures, do some new building. Is any of that still happening?
Yeah, it is. And I think just to give a little backdrop as well, the way I think about these private companies is it's still you've got a publicly traded stock that is out there to add value to its shareholders. Our family-owned companies are no different. They're just privately held, and they don't have quarterly quotas to meet. But over 5 to 10 years, you want the valuation of your company to outcompete the S&P. Mm-hmm. It is a very illiquid stock that you want to make sure that it still is producing returns. And you look a few different ways for that, but you look at growing your income base. You look at providing liquidity to its shareholders, so distributions. And how do you grow the earnings? Well, you have to invest. And so are you investing in a sales force? Are you adding new lines of business? Are you reducing unprofitable areas of your company in the form of a divestiture? Or are you looking to grow through an acquisition? Mm-hmm. So it's almost one of those build versus buy scenarios. And I have seen a lot of clients in the last couple of years actually look at both.
Yeah, well, that's good. So we sit here mid-year. Are you optimistic for the rest of the year?
I've always remained optimistic, even through the tariff situation. I think there's clearly a lot of concerns. But for the local Chicago Midwest-based family companies here, it is the core staple of our region. Over the course of the next 5 to 10 years, I remain very optimistic in the growth of this area.
All right, Doug, great conversation as always. Thank you.
Great. Thanks for having me again.
Doug McClure, Senior Vice President and Team Leader in Associated Bank's Commercial Banking Group.